We are working our way through the life of David, and you may know that last week we concluded our study in 2 Samuel, but we have not concluded the study that we've been going through in the life of David. You see, the very first 1.5 chapters of 1 Kings, it tells us about the sunset of David's life, tells us about the ending of David's life. Today we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to ask you if you would please stand as we read through our scripture, and then we will continue to talk about David in his old age. When King David was very old, he could not keep warm even when they put covers over him. Right, Mom? So his attendants said to him, "Let us look for a young virgin to serve the king and take care of him. She can lie beside him so that our lord the king may keep warm." Then they searched throughout Israel for a beautiful young woman and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The woman was very beautiful. She took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no sexual relations with her. Now Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, put himself forward and said, "I will be king." So he got chariots and horses ready, with 50 men to run ahead of him. His father had never rebuked him by asking, "Why do you behave as you do?" He was also very handsome and was born next after Absalom. Adonijah conferred with Joab, son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they gave him their support. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, and Rei, and David's special guard did not join Adonijah. Adonijah then sacrificed sheep, cattle, and fattened calves at the stone of Zoheleth near En-Rogel. He invited all his brothers and king's sons and all the royal officials of Judah. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet or Benaiah or the special guard of his brother Solomon. Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. Now on March 6th, the year 2020, three senior members of the Saudi royal family, including King Salman's brother and two of his nephews, they were all arrested. They were accused of treason for plotting to overthrow the king. And newspaper reports suggested that the arrests were ordered by the king's favorite son and de facto ruler, who was crowned Prince Mohammed bin Salman. You see, he is seeking to consolidate power. There have also been reports that King Salman is growing quite feeble, still is, which is why his son has been so prominent in squashing any opposition to the throne. See, when kings and other leaders become old and feeble, there is often a grab for power. People jockey their way into a position to become the next king or the next ruler. And sometimes it can get very ugly. And that is exactly what we learn about as King David came to the end of his life. One of his sons is making a grab for power. It is David's son, Adonijah. He wanted to become the next king over all of Israel. He wanted to be preeminent. He wanted to be first. He wanted to be exalted. We are going to examine today's scripture from the perspective of Adonijah, how he saw it. And as we engage with today's narrative, let's keep in mind that sometimes we ourselves struggle with preeminence. You know, maybe with our spouse or with our parents, with our colleagues, or maybe even our neighbors. The scripture has something to teach each and every one of us. Our scripture in 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, it shows us what happens when we wrongly seek preeminence, when we wrongly seek to exalt ourselves. First, when we wrongly desire preeminence, we notice the diminishment of others. Verse 1 begins with these words, "When King David," some versions just say King David. The first thing I want us to note is that 1 Kings is a continuation of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel ends, 1 Kings continues. It's a continuum. There is no break. Second thing I want us to note is that the narrative begins with the words King David. And I did not realize how significant the issue of kingship was until I was reading a commentary by John Olley. On this passage, he writes that the focus of chapter 1 is on kingship is shown by the designation of key characters. Not only is king one of the first words, but David is always King David 9 times, the king 39 times. Only once is he mentioned as our Lord David. And the first instance of him simply being called David isn't until chapter 2 at verse 1, and that is when the issue of succession has already been decided. And along with those references to Adonijah seeking to become king 6 times, the promise that Solomon is the one who is going to be king 4 times, and the statement that he has become king 7 times, or the question about who is going to be the king, within all of the scripture there, there are 70 instances of the noun king or the related verb, and is the most with any chapter within the Bible. That's how important the kingship was in here. This narrative, it has movement. As various questions arise, will David act as king in his last days? And if so, how is he going to do that? What will happen because Adonijah wants to be king? Well, what about Solomon? You see, the next thing I want us to note is that the scripture says, when King David was very old. David's reign, it lasted 40 years, from about 1010 till about 970 BC. He was about 30 years old when he became king, and so that would make him about 70 years old when he died. Now, 70 may not seem very old to some of us. Yes. But we need to remember that David had lived a very full and hard life, particularly as a warrior. His body, it was worn out. It was tired. He was the pale shadow of his former fit and virile self. He was constantly cold, most likely because of a decreased blood flow within his body, within his system. And verse 1 goes on and it says, he could not keep warm even when they put covers on him. David's servants are trying to help him. They know that all these additional pajamas and these blankets and everything that they're putting on him, they're not doing the trick for him. And so they proposed a remedy that was apparently recommended in ancient medical textbooks. We read in verses 2 through 4, so his attendants said to him, let us look for a young virgin to serve the king and take care of him. She can lie down beside him so that our Lord the king may keep warm. Then they searched throughout all Israel for a beautiful young woman and found Abishag, the Shunammite, and brought her to the king, and the woman was very beautiful. She took care of the king and waited on him, but the king had no sexual relations with her. They're trying to find out how to keep David warm. The author of 1 Kings wants his readers to know that David is in a diminished state, that David is old. He's coming to the end of his life. He is advanced in years. Because of all that, he can't keep warm. Even beautiful Miss Israel was of little help to keep David warm. It's kind of interesting when you really think about it. And we are told of David's frailty, his decline, his diminishment, because it's also noted by David's son, Adonijah. So we will continue to see as we work our way through. See, he notices his father's diminishment as king. See, when we wrongly desire preeminence, when we wrongly desire to exalt ourselves, to be first, we notice the diminishment of others. And then we are tempted to think about how that may be used to our advantage. Second, when we wrongly desire preeminence, we exalt ourselves. In the first part of verse 5, we read, now Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, put himself forward, and he says, I will be king. Adonijah was the fourth son of David. His mother was Haggith. More importantly, he is the oldest surviving son. You may remember through our study, we'll go through this real briefly here, David's first son, who was Amnon, he had been killed by David's third son, who is Absalom, after the rape of his sister Tamar. Then Absalom died a little bit later on in a revolt against his father David. Now, David's second son was Chileab, and we never really hear anything about him except that he was born, and so it is supposed that he had died at a younger age. And so the first three of the oldest sons, they're all gone now. And as David's oldest surviving son, Adonijah, he may have believed that he should be the next king over all of Israel, but as Oli notes, in the ancient Near East, primogeniture is not always the rule. Some of you may be familiar with that if you've ever watched recently when the queen passed away. Primogeniture is it runs down the family line. It's not the queen's brothers or relatives. It is her son that takes place, and then his son after him, the oldest one. And then under him would be her great-grandchildren. They actually have priority over the second son. That's the way it worked there. But you see, in some cultures, brothers, they had priority over sons. In others, it was the king who could designate who he wanted to be his successor. And even in other places, in other cases, that person had to consent to become the king. Now, you may remember that David himself, he was not the oldest son. In fact, he was the youngest of Jesse's eight sons. So David was eighth on the list there. We're told in a parallel passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 that Solomon was God's choice to succeed David as the next king over all Israel. Listen to 1 Chronicles chapter 22, beginning at verse 7. David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house." That is a temple. "I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'You have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name because you have shed much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever.'" Now the question arises then, did Adonijah know that God had already chosen Solomon to succeed David? Well, the answer is probably, most likely he knew, but nevertheless, knowing his father's diminishment, his father's diminished state, Adonijah is now trying to take advantage of this situation and exalt himself. And Adonijah, he did several things to exalt himself. First, he exalts himself by what he did. Verse 5, the second part of verse 5, "So he got chariots and horses ready, with 50 men to run ahead of him." Now, that may sound familiar to you. It's reminiscent of what Absalom did when he revolted against his father. He tried to crown himself as the king over all of Israel in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Adonijah believed that somehow it was important to portray this right image as him being the king. And so he had this entourage that would go before him in order for people to know that he was now the ruler over all of Israel. Second thing he did was he exalted himself by the people he knew. Verse 7 says, "Adonijah conferred with Joab, son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and they gave him their support." Joab, you may remember, he is the commanding general of David's army. He was ruthless to anyone that he thought opposed David. Now, the reason he may have supported Adonijah is that he would prefer Adonijah to be the next king over Solomon. Abiathar, he was not the high priest, but he may have wanted to be the high priest. And so he may be thinking, he may believe that if Adonijah becomes the next king, then I can be the high priest. Adonijah knew that having these two leaders on his side, one a military leader, one a religious leader, it would go a long way with the people to exalt his status within the eyes of the people. Third, he exalted himself by his religious zeal. Verse 9 says, Adonijah then sacrificed sheep, cattle, and fattened calves at the stone of Zoheleth near En-Rogel. He invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the royal officials of Judah. See, he is able to show off his religious zeal with this sacrifice, while at the same time throwing this large meal, having a gigantic meal for this whole group of people. A meal back in ancient times. It was extremely important to strengthen fellowship and to build relationship. We still do those even nowadays. Adonijah, he exalted himself by what he did, by the people he knew, and by his religious zeal. See, he wanted to somehow promote the right image before the people, to the people. But see, there was a problem with Adonijah's exaltation. He brought Joab and Abiathar into his inner circle. However, he did not consult with the people who really mattered. Verse 8 says, but Zadok the priest, Benaiah son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and David's special guard did not join Adonijah. Zadok, he was the priest who was in charge of religion in Israel. Nathan, he was God's prophet. Adonijah certainly did not consult with his father, King David, about any of this. The men who served by God's appointment as prophet, priest, and king, they were not consulted by Adonijah. And this was a big problem for Adonijah. We sometimes do the same thing when we have a plan, don't we? You know, we want to do something, and so we consult with the people who we know will agree with us, those people who are going to say yes with us, rather than maybe asking someone who is really attentive to what God wants to do and where God is moving. See, we exalt ourselves when we wrongly desire preeminence, when we are somehow trying to build ourselves up instead of seeking what God wants and doing what God wants. And third, we wrongly desire preeminence when we pursue our own pleasure. Right in the middle of this narrative is a very important note about David's relationship with his son Adonijah. It's found in the first part of verse 6. It says, his father had never rebuked him, asking, why do you behave as you do? Commentator Philip Ryken, he says, this is a terrible indictment of David for his failure in fatherly discipline. It also happens to be one of the most important comments made anywhere in the Bible on the subject of raising children. We know that David had a hands-off relationship with his children. Think back again. Amnon molested his sister Tamar, and David did absolutely nothing. Then Absalom murders his brother Amnon because of what Amnon has done, and David again does nothing. Then Absalom, he rebels against his father, and he stages a coup. He wants to try to become king. Eventually, David is forced into action, forced into doing something. But even when he is, he gives the command for them not to do anything to Absalom. Adonijah, he apparently grew up. He was thoroughly indulged as a child. You know, a silver platter. You could say he was spoiled if you want. He pursued his own pleasure. Whatever he wanted, he got. David never at any time displeased Adonijah by asking, why have you done this? Why are you doing that? Why do you do what you're doing? Now, children, we need to remember that our parents must hold us accountable for our actions. You want to go and pursue your own pleasure. You want to do your own thing. But it may not always be the best for you. Now, I'm not talking about parents who are abusive toward their children. That's a completely different subject. But it is right for your parents to ask you questions about why it is you're doing what you're doing. As a general rule, parents, they want the very best for you. Parents, that's most of us, grandparents, aunts, uncles, however you want to look at it. Do you love your children enough to displease them. Now, that may sound weird, but proper discipline will displease your children, which is the point of 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 6. Also keep in mind Hebrews 12:11. It states, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." You see, as we look at this account, our scripture of David in his old age, we need to learn to submit to God's will for our lives. Adonijah, he wanted to be king. He wrongly desired preeminence. He wanted to exalt himself, to do his own thing. And he notices the diminishment of his father, and so he's trying to take advantage of that. He then exalted himself by what he did, by the people he knew, and by his religious zeal, this sacrifice and this feast. He also pursued his own pleasure, which is what he had done all the way from childhood. Adonijah had forgotten, or at least he ignored the truth, that David did not put himself on the throne. David was God's king over all of Israel because God had chosen him to be the king on earth. Adonijah, he sought preeminence. He sought to exalt himself when God had not chosen him. We actually saw that in 1 Chronicles chapter 22. God had chosen Solomon to succeed David. Adonijah, he's not the rightful king. And he should have been subservient to God's choice of the next king, which was Solomon. Adonijah should have submitted to God's will for his life. You see, in the same way, you and I, we need to submit to God's will for our lives. The king who is now sitting on David's throne is his greater son, Jesus Christ. He is the king who will rule forever and ever. And if you are not a Christian, if you are not a Christ follower, if you've never submitted your life to the kingship of Jesus Christ to serve after him, you could do that. You see, Jesus, he is a good and kind king. He is the best of all kings. He loves and protects those who belong to him. Now, if you are a Christian, if you're seeking to follow after Christ, maybe ask the Spirit, where is an area where maybe you're seeking preeminence? You're trying to exalt yourself instead of submitting to God. And if the Spirit shows you, submit that to God. Turn that area over. Ask God, ask the Spirit to help you to submit to God in that area. See, Jesus paid the price. He paid the penalty for each and every one of us. And Jesus, he is a good, he is a kind king.